just told everybody here that Deion Sanders was going to show up with the Colorado Buffaloes. Show everybody that he means business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
86 new players. 86.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't understand why people think that he's just doing this just for him. He is a coach.
Earlier on the show, Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Jets general manager Joe Douglas. And now, it's Rich Eisen. Great.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Where phone lines are lit up like the proverbial Christmas tree 2 days after Labor Day, a day before kickoff of the NFL season. We've already had both coaches, Andy Reid and Dan Campbell, on this week. We're excited to bring you the best in our world of sports and entertainment every single day here on this Rich Eisen Show. Terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, Sirius XM Odyssey, the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. Also, it's free on the app because the Roku channel is on that free app, and the RokuChannel.com on the internet tubes is how you can also watch us. Our YouTube page. Thank you to everybody out there who subscribes to our YouTube page. Over 600,000 subscribers. Now, we went over that mark yesterday. You know how I found out about it? Cooper, my 12-year-old, beat Sean Mitchell, Rich Eisen Show digital coordinating producer, to the punch. And that's so my youngest boy, baby,
on it,
beat Sean Mitchell, and our YouTube stream is one of his babies. It's his professional baby.
I was keeping an eye on it during the show yesterday. We were like, you know, 180 shy when we went off the air, but we're at 601 now.
Yeah, 601.
Thanks to everybody out there.
And everyone, you know, our podcasts that we produce here out of the studio starting this very week. Overreaction Monday is a podcast that Chris and I are going to do every Monday during the season. It debuted this past Monday with our season preview. And you can listen to it where all podcasts are acquired. The art you see on the screen is Sean Mitchell's handiwork right there, because it's also on our YouTube page. We appreciate the over 150,000 people that have consumed it on our YouTube page. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask are going to debut What the Football next Tuesday. Every Tuesday they're chit-chatting, and their first guest has been booked.
Oh.
His name is Charles Woodson.
Hey, heard of him.
So Charles is going to be joining them on Tuesday for the debut of What the Football, and every Tuesday after that. Please go to where you acquire your podcasts and hit that podcast with a follow as well. Basically, there's so much content coming out of here.
We're everywhere.
Hey, we can't be stopped. We can only hope to be contained. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic making his way to the studio. He's going to join us in the middle of the hour. Let's go to Shane in Memphis, Tennessee, joining us here on the program. What is up, Shane?
Hello.
What's going on?
Not much. I want to do the win-loss for the Commanders.
The Commanders? Hey. But you're in Tennessee. You're in, by the way, Memphis, home of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Why? How are you a Commanders fan, sir?
I grew up in Silver Spring in Maryland.
Okay.
That's just stayed a Commanders fan.
Okay.
You could be my Silver
Bless
Spring.
You, Shane. Okay. Silver Spring, Maryland, that is as right in the heart of Washington country. All right, Shane, are you ready for this? I need wins, losses out of you. You ready? Because you're the first. This is filling a need for us. We have not had anybody do this.
I've been calling for like 3 days.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm glad you got through.
Guys are busy. Let's go.
All right. Give Shane the best. That's it.
Come on.
We're celebrating Shane getting through, as well as telling us the win-loss game for the Commanders. Sam Howell and the Commanders welcoming in the Cardinals. What happens this weekend?
Win.
At the Broncos.
Loss.
Home for the Bills.
Loss.
At the Eagles.
Loss.
That's 1-3. Home for the Bears on a Thursday night.
Win.
All right, turns around. 2-3 at the Falcons.
Win.
3-3 at the G-Men.
Loss.
3-4 home for the Eagles.
Win.
Oh. 4-4 at the Patriots.
Loss.
4-5 at the Seahawks.
Win.
5-5 home against the Giants.
Win.
6-5 and Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Loss.
6-6 home for the Dolphins.
Loss.
6-7 coming out of the bye at the Rams.
Win.
7-7 at the Jets.
Win.
Ooh. 8-7 home for the 49ers.
Loss.
8-8 home for the Cowboys.
Win.
9-8 Hey. Shane in Memphis, Tennessee. What do you think, TJ?
Might get you in.
That sounds pretty accurate.
All right.
Might get you in the playoffs. 9-8
Thank you, Shane. Greatly appreciate it. Hopefully the 3-day wait was worth it. There he goes.
It's the first time I haven't been enraged listening to one of these.
What do you mean?
Well, normally people make me mad with their predictions, but I think Shane was pretty on.
I think that was pretty good. 9-8's realistic. I mean, I would go a little bit under that, but he's a fan.
I'm going to play the win-loss game later on for the Jets.
Oh, yeah. He isn't beating the Jets. Hmm.
Rich is going to go 16-1 Just a
that is not happening. I can guarantee you.
You're
going to
go full tapper? Full tapper?
I'm not going full tapper. You never go full tapper.
Never go full tapper.
Never. Never. So just as everyone understands, we have not had anybody do the Jets. I will be the first that will check that box. We haven't had a Bengal yet.
There's someone on the line.
Somebody on the line.
Is that right? Yeah, Hold on. We haven't had a Titan or a Texan yet.
Nope.
We haven't. And then we haven't had a Cardinals or a Rams. We get that, then we got all 32 going into the season.
Yeah, I'll do the Rams.
I'll do the Rams.
Have we had a Colts?
Can I do the Rams? Yeah.
Okay.
Let me do the Colts. Rams like tomorrow.
Someone did the Rams.
Actually, what we should do is we shouldn't do the win-loss for the Rams. You should
sell or keep. Keep
for your tickets.
Oh.
Sell or keep.
Rich, have we had the Colts scheduled?
Might be nine sell.
We have had the Colts schedule. I've written it down. It was twice. Cody in Indiana had them 9-8.
Because we have a guy named Brian on our Instagram who DM'd us. He's a fan from Australia.
Okay.
And he wanted to call in. He said he couldn't call in.
Okay.
So he gave us his win-loss prediction.
And what do you have?
You want to read it?
Oh, no. Just tell me what the final record
is.
Let's
see. I got to add him up because he didn't put a final. Here, so I'll give it to you.
In the meantime, here's what I'm going to give you. Every Wednesday on the Rich Eisen Show during the football season, I give you something that I spent basically 8 years refusing to give you. The guys here in our studio on this program constantly pushing. Rich, give us a power ranking.
Come on, everybody.
And I'm like, what are power rankings? What are they?
You just made the list.
What are power rankings?
Well, you have a very specific
it's just like some people are like,
my interpretation of.
Yes, because I don't know. The power rankings that this team will beat. If one team's above the other team in a power ranking, they're supposed to beat the team below them, right?
Yes.
And the team that's below them isn't as good as the team that's above them.
Yes.
And I sit here and I'm like, sometimes any given Sunday it'll happen. It's just, how do I feel roster stacked, winning it all, chances to win it all? And then sometimes I'll just go by gut and feel. It's just a way of me doing it. It's my power rankings. It's not yours.
It's not
and
mine.
You're not going to take it. You're not going to take it from me.
It's not mine.
So I finally did it, and then you start complaining about the way I do it.
Well, but
both of you.
Well, the reason I complained is because when I used to do my grab bag, you would always, like, you know, jump in and
throw me off.
Well,
you take things personally. I never did that. What do you mean jump in? You're the king of jumping in with what I'm saying
I got nothing else to do.
That's what she said type humor.
You don't let me do that. And you know how many times I passed it up in the last week alone?
Good.
Just saying.
I hope it's double digits. But you know what I'm saying? Come on.
But I stopped after the first few
times. No. I'm saying
I'd stop neither.
These are my power rankings.
I get it. That's what it says in the intro.
Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. Ah, yes.
Hey.
Gotta love it. It's definitely the only power rankings drop that includes Private Pile. That's for sure.
All right. And He-Man.
Here we go.
That's right.
My first power rankings of the season. They're called preseason power rankings.
Preseason!
Yes,
power
that's what
rankings.
I'm calling them.
Come on!
Number 10. Moving up to number 1. I'm putting the Baltimore Ravens right there. I like the Ravens at 10.
Low.
Oh, why are they low? They're not low because I still need to see what the offense looks like. I still need to see a couple things, but they're on there. They're number 10 on this list.
All right.
Because I do believe they have the ability to win this division. I do believe they have this ability to go deep into the playoffs. I need to see Lamar stay healthy. And I need to see what this offense does look like with Odell and Zay Flowers, who he talked up quite a bit.
Yeah, he did.
The defense as well. Let's see what they look like. But I think 10's not a bad place to start.
Okay.
It's unfortunately worse than 9.
Yeah, not as good as 9.
I'm putting the Seahawks here. Yeah, baby. You have everybody out there. And I say you, Chris, because look at the look. Look at the look on his face. Freeze that look right there. Don't freeze that look. I'll say this. That's Geno slander. Do not slander Geno. Geno Smith had a terrific year last year.
You trust Geno more than Lamar Jackson?
Right now, I know what Geno. Geno finished the season. Geno went
one time in a decade. Good.
It's called recency.
Bias.
And I do like the Seahawks, what they have done and built, and they can come for you, and they can win this division. I don't believe they will, but I like the Seahawks. They're 9. Number 8 on this list, a division winner with everything pointing up because they got better, and their kid quarterback's going to get better. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 8 on this list.
I like that.
The Jaguars are 8. The defending AFC South champs are coming in. I think they're going to have a good start of the season. I love Calvin Ridley's addition. My goodness gracious. And let's see what Trevor Lawrence is going to do after that disastrous playoff start and then remarkable comeback win to put a little bit of a scare in Kansas City. Number 7 on this list are your Dallas Cowboys.
Kind of low.
Get out of here. I still need to see what I need to see. What I need to see is them play and win games that they're supposed to win. Games at the end that they're leading to not run out of bounds.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Dude, old stuff.
That was 2 years ago.
Actually,
it was Dak's first season when Terrence Williams didn't run out of bounds and the Giants actually beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 9-1 against the New York Giants in season openers against the Giants, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I need to see them. I need to see the weirdness get out.
Okay.
I need to see the Dallas Cowboys if they're going to run the ball more. With who?
I said I wouldn't interrupt, but Micah just took that very personally.
Number 6. I want to let you know. This is going to particularly piss you off, and I don't care.
I know where you're going.
New York Jets are 6 on this list. Yes, they are.
Why?
Why? Because they have a terrific roster. They've got a terrific team.
Our games are played on paper now?
We're going to find out, aren't we?
I need to see it. Well, like, I haven't seen it.
So you need
Excuse
to see me. It from the Ravens.
Excuse me.
And I haven't 10, seen it.
And you need, but you don't need to see it from the Jets?
I do need to see it. That's why they're not in the top 5.
You haven't even seen this team form like Voltron
Excuse me.
You've seen them play one drive.
If I could choose a roster, which roster would I choose? I'd choose the Jets roster over the Ravens one right now. Right now, and so would you. That's why you're not clapping back
coaching.
At me.
What about coaching?
Okay, we'll find out, won't we? But right now, I am not, because I believe that they are the 6th best team in the National Football League. Yeah. Number 5, Cincinnati Bengals are above the Jets.
Oh, my gosh.
And the only reason why they're this low is because I need to see Joe Burrow's calf muscles hold up. This is it, man. This team, they're going to look around the locker room before that game in Cleveland, and Joe's going to look around that locker room. I assume he's going to have a new contract with the ink still drying. No. I still believe that's going to happen. And he's going to look around the locker room, and he's going to look around and say, okay, with the amount of money that I'm now making, I understand it's going to be difficult to keep everyone in this locker room. We got to win it right here, right now. And he's going to put the pedal to the metal. And the only thing I hope is when he pushes that pedal, it doesn't hurt his calf.
I mean, calf muscles.
Number 4 on this list of the Buffalo Bills. This is the team that, yeah. The Buffalo Bills. What do you mean 4? Who would you put them above who I'm about to say, Chris? The Buffalo Bills should win this division. They have a really talented team. I think they've gotten better. They're going to get Von Miller back as well. The guys who were missing last year are back, with the exception of Von. All the awful stuff that happened off the field, I can only hope, won't even remotely come close to happening. That alone should make them better.
All right, 4 is a good spot.
Thank you, because now you're realizing 3 is the 49ers. I put the 49ers here. What do you mean? Okay.
I mean,
San Francisco 49ers are 3.
The Bills are better at so many different positions and head
Thank
coach
you.
than the 49ers.
2 are the Chiefs. I put the Chiefs, even though I think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl. I put the Chiefs here because, again, Niners 3, Chiefs 2, because they don't have Chris Jones right now.
They won the Super Bowl.
So they don't
you win the Super Bowl, you're automatically
right
number
now,
1.
They don't have Chris Jones right now.
Yeah, and the Niners don't have Bosa, which nobody wants to talk about. And yet,
that's why I got them at 3. Because the rest of that defense is pretty damn good.
You know who's there? Micah Parsons, and yet we're seven.
That's correct.
I can't
below
that
the
out.
Jets, eat it.
Totally.
And number one.
Drop the Tedley. Just do it.
Number one are the Eagles. They have an insanely talented roster.
That's so good.
And the only pieces, if you will, that they lost are the offensive coordinator and Shane Steichen. And the defensive coordinator, who we're still trying to find out if it's better to ride the bus or drive yourself. I don't know yet. We're going to talk about that later. I still don't understand it.
Yeah,
fire.
No big deal.
I still don't get
two
it.
Coordinators.
Yep.
I got a fire.
Teams have done that before, but and survive. Right now, going into the season, I'm putting the Eagles atop my power rankings. So I've already heard from these jamokes.
We're jabronis.
Feel free to chime in at 844-204-RICH, or if you're watching this later on our YouTube feed or on the Roku channel. With the Roku collection or watching us back on channel 210, you know how to reach me.
So what's up? Is that it?
That is. Thank you, Ed O'Neill.
We wanted one more.
There it is.
We can go home now.
No, there's no more. There's no one more. I mean, you could put anybody at 10.
Good list.
Could have put 10 anybody at 10. I appreciate you saying that, Mike.
I mean that.
It's Rich. My list.
I know.
That's my first power ranking.
It's like
supposed to engender conversation, and obviously we already have.
You engendered this
segment would have been done 3 minutes ago if you two had shut up.
That's how I feel sometimes, but hey.
They get really mad, Rich. Chris and PJ. They do not like those lists.
I love lists.
No. Todd in Honolulu. Let's get Todd in Honolulu right here.
Honolulu.
What's up, Todd?
Me and Dukes for happy hour.
Rich, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
Todd.
All right, Todd.
Todd.
In the beautiful 50th state of Hawaii, what are you calling in to talk about?
Dukes.
The win-loss for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why are you how do we see here and say someone from Honolulu is a Bengal fan? How do we confirm this?
Born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, and I've been a Bengals fan long enough to know that the owner has deep pockets and short arms.
There we go. Very good. That's deep pockets, short arms. Yep. Can't lose.
Can't lose.
Always lose. All right. This fills a need, Todd. We have not had anybody call in about the back-to-back AFC North champion Cincinnati Bengals.
This is their year. They're ready to go.
All right, sir. At the Browns, what do you have?
Win.
Home for the Ravens.
Loss.
Home for the Rams on a Monday night.
Win.
At the Titans.
Win.
At the Cardinals.
Definitely a win there.
Home for... Wow. Is everybody curb stomping the Cardinals or what?
Apparently.
4-1 home for the Seahawks.
Loss.
Coming off the bye at San Francisco.
Loss.
Wow. You have them starting 4-3 home for the Bills on a Sunday night.
Win.
Ooh. I was very confident. 5-3 home for the Texans.
Win.
At the Ravens on a Thursday night.
Loss.
Wow. You have them getting swept by the Ravens, pal. That's going to be very difficult to win this division, Todd. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 5 home for the Steelers.
Win.
At the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Win.
All right. Now, I have you having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 4. That's what you are right now. 8-4 home for the Colts.
Win.
9-4 home for the Vikings.
Win.
10-4 at the Steelers on a Saturday night.
Loss.
10-5 at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Win.
11-5 home for the Browns.
Loss.
11-6. Todd in Honolulu, thank you for the call.
Awesome. Thanks, sir.
You bet. 11-6. I'll tell you what. 11-6 getting swept by the Ravens, that's a wild card team. If they're that's not winning the division.
No, because if the Ravens go 11-6, obviously tiebreaker.
That's it.
Yeah.
He has him splitting with the Browns. That's an interesting. That was quite a ride. And then he has them splitting with the Steelers. Yeah, but if they get swept by the Ravens, you're assuming the Ravens are going to also be an 11-win team.
Right.
Okay.
But he had them winning all their tough road games. Seems tough.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. My power ranking's in the books. And so, thankfully, are the comments section. Also, coming up, Joe Douglas, the general manager of the New York Jets. I play the Jets win-loss game. I'm the first one to do it. I can't believe we have anybody else doing that.
You're the only Jets fan, Rich.
What's that? I don't know. I saw one from ESPN open up all his free gear from the Jets today on his Twitter feed.
What's going on there?
How come you ain't getting free gear?
Like I'm on the pay no mind list?
Wow.
Like I'm not talking about him?
Yeah, let's get my man Rich a hat or something.
I don't need a hat.
I love a hard knock t-shirt.
You know what I don't need free gear?
Disrespect is real.
Let's take a break. Bruce Feldman, fresh back from TCU, and I imagine getting set to go to Colorado, is in studio next from Fox Sports and The Athletic. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning. Drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. Back here on the Roku channel, our radio audience about to rejoin us. First of two times, I say hello to you, Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. And so much to talk about with you. We're going to get into it in a second. And one of the many reasons why I love having you here is not just your information and your personality and your coolness, but you get to confirm things like what Mike Del Tufo was saying. What game are you doing? That's, you said it's a top 15 game? Top 15 game? What are you doing? Which one? No. Turn on your microphone. I can't believe I'm telling my audio executive to turn on his microphone. See
Oregon,
what I'm doing here?
Oregon, Texas Tech.
Oregon versus Texas Tech.
Yeah. They're 13th. Oregon's 13th, right?
Right. And Texas Tech?
Not ranked.
Texas Tech, I thought, would have been better. They got upset, yeah, as you guys know, in Laramie, Wyoming. I still think they're going to be a really good team and have a good season.
Okay.
But I did not expect them to stub their toe
in
week one.
All right, so what did
All I care about is that one of the teams is ranked, and I'm on Big Fox.
But you have to understand it. Mike, and again, you can confirm this and help. When you call a game a top 15 game, it's both teams are in that. Yes.
Is that?
Correct?
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't call the game Middle Tennessee played last week against
Alabama. Michigan played East Carolina. It was a top five matchup.
Oh.
I've done two top 10 ranked teams.
It's got to be. What? Both teams must be ranked within the range of you calling it that. One team doesn't. Correct?
I'm sure our networks would love to approach it the way you just did. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sure my friend Tim Brando would love to be like, hey, I had a top three matchup.
That's exactly right.
I had somebody played a Conference USA team.
What the heck? I know, right? So, Mike, you're working half a top 15 matchup.
Okay.
Okay?
That's all that matters.
The glass is half full with Cristal.
That is indeed. All right. And it's on Big Fox.
Yes.
Okay. No slide against FS1.
No, please. I was on FS1 against them, against the other game.
Them. It's us for you. It's them for me. You know what I'm saying? All right. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're back. The Rich Eisen Show desk that I'm sitting at is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman back here in his now weekly Wednesday spot. It's official now that you did last Wednesday and this one as well from Fox Sports and The Athletic. I give you the floor on what you witnessed at TCU on Big Noon Fox on Saturday, sir.
Mike said it best. He came by, he was like, unbelievable. I'm like, yeah, that's the word. It was literally unbelievable. 20.5-point underdog. They get a 3-and-out in the first series, and then the game plan they had, getting the ball out of Shador, their quarterback's hands quick, makes sense. They got on the perimeter. There's about 8 different things that happened in CU's win over TCU that were mind-blowing to me. I'm going to start with the most mind-blowing. Travis Hunter, who was we've talked about him here before, the number one recruit that Deion got to go to Jackson State and beat everybody on, and now he followed him to CU. played both ways exceptionally well. He played like 130 snaps, and it was almost 100 degrees there. Like, I remember doing this when I was at ESPN Magazine, did a story on Chris Gamble when Ohio State won the national title. Really good player, first-round pick. He was their second-leading receiver, and he was a really good cornerback, and he was a return guy. Played 130 snaps. He played 130 snaps against Illinois in a game that was probably like 49 degrees. Mm-hmm. This was like 100. And he got better in the second half. He made a remarkable interception that where his unreal. Closing speed was just, oh, my God. You know, like, you totally get why he was the number one recruit in the country. So there was that. Then there was Shador, his son, who had been a really good quarterback, and we knew he was going to be one of their better players. But he was totally poised, incredibly accurate, threw for a career, you know, like a CU record, 510 yards. They had 400-yard receivers in the game. He spread it out. I mean, you know, it was like, then there was like their offensive line, which Logic and everybody else I talked to was like, there's no way you can get an offensive line where all the mismatched parts come together post-spring football. You know, I was talking to one of the TCU coaches the day before the game, and it was like, well, it's not, you know, it'd be like almost like bringing the Georgia offensive line in and expecting them in a new system come. Mm-hmm. No, I said, no, it'd be like having one guy from Georgia, one guy from Michigan, one guy from Kent State. And honestly, I don't know if those guys were from Georgia and Michigan. I know they were from, a couple were from Kent State, but like you're bringing them all together, and they played really, really well. Credit to the coaches, credit to the players.
You have to, and by the way, I'm glad that you said credit to them as well. Obviously, the players, they're the ones who play, and Dion will say that. But you got to credit the coaching.
Oh, like, 1,000%.
Again, I just think everybody thinks Dion just like he's just a collector of talent, and they'll just roll the footballs out.
Yeah.
Honestly, like this is when you do it with 86 new players. And I know TCU is not the same TCU team that went to the national championship game last year.
No, but Sonny Dykes was telling me he thinks the receiving core, even though they don't have Quentin Johnston and Darius Davis, who are going to be playing for the Chargers this weekend, he thinks their receiving core is better. He felt like their defensive line was better. There was a lot they were very excited about. And it wasn't like Colorado blew them off the field, but Colorado went there was nothing felt fluky about it. You know, credit to them, Sean. You know, first of all, the biggest thing a head coach usually does is what kind of staff they put together. He got Sean Lewis, who's a really well-regarded offensive mind, to leave being the head coach at Kent State to go become his offensive coordinator. And Sean Lewis brought his O-line guy, and that guy, Bill O'Boyle, is really good. And then you looked at some of the defensive side of things. And I think also, this is to me is one of the big things for Dion is he has a read on people. You know this better than me because you worked with him closely. Mm-hmm. But I think he's incredibly people smart and knows how to push buttons, and that matters. And, you know, like, I can't wait to I'm flying there tonight. I cannot wait to see week two of this.
And it must be lit on that campus. They must be out of their minds. I saw the athletic director go up to Dion. He was crying. It looked like he was crying.
He should be. They were awful for 20 years, and now all of a sudden, they are the biggest story in sports, not just college football. Like, did you see what happened? Like, it's just remarkable.
I don't think it's overhyped, and I know, folks, I already see it coming. I could see it coming because it's been replayed for four decades with Dion, you know, where he lets his mouth run. He talks when he shouldn't. He's thinking that he's writing checks that we cannot wait for his team to not cash. And he doesn't care because what he's doing is what he's always done, which is enter an arena with confidence, because not only does he know he's prepared, that's first and foremost. Not only does he know that he's prepared, but he knows that those who he needs to come with him are equally as prepared. That is the secret sauce. Everyone pays attention to the flash or the prime time, and then Dion comes in and whips you. That's what I think he's doing with this team. At one game in, and I understand there's a long way to go, but I saw enough college football this weekend to see that if that team continues to be consistent and healthy, they can stand quite a run in a Pac-12 that hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, look, I think the health part is a big key.
Yes.
You can't afford, you know, I imagine there's going to be a big drop-off if Shador is not the starting quarterback. But take it for this. So, you know, in our green room at some point in the second half, Urban Meyer and I have this conversation. He's talking about, like, how game changer and how other schools are going to take their cues from from this.
Mm-hmm.
And my only hesitation on this is there aren't other Deion Sanderses. Like, there are other great players. You know, like, Eddie George was a phenomenal player. He's a head coach at Tennessee State. There's other guys who, you know, Ed Reed briefly was the head coach at FAMU. Ed Reed's a super charismatic guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, the passion kind of pours out of him. But I think that's only one piece of this,
mm-hmm.
right? There's great player. There's super charismatic. There's a lot of things to go to it. But, like, I don't know. Could people overhaul their roster and make these dramatic moves? Can you expect to sell, hey, come play for me? Like, I actually know what it's like to do this and to get you there. Yeah, I think that can resonate. I just don't know. Like, when I watch him, there are certain things that he has a sense for that I'm like, ooh, there's some genius in there. And uh-huh. when I use the term genius, it's like stuff that doesn't make sense to normal people. And but it's actually like next level. And I think there's some stuff going on there where, like, you watch some of these press conferences he has or some of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know how scripted it is. It's just, you know, God put it in his ear and it's coming out in a lyrical, very powerful way. As somebody who, you know, we both are in front of a microphone, you way more so than me. It is not easy to do that.
Well, I've been around, again, Deion for as long as I've been around him. Deion's expertise when he was on television was sense of chemistry and also sense of moment and his ability to react second to none, where he hated to rehearse. Whenever we would do stuff and let's rehearse it, he'd be like, why? You know, save it for when the lights are on.
Because everybody else isn't you, and right. they can't get away with
right.
with hitting the switch and it just comes out.
But he would do it. It's not like he refused to do it. It would just be like, we've got it. You know, the lights are going to come on.
You may have it, but what about the other schmoes?
I know. So when you're saying, is it scripted? He's probably said this, if I had to guess, the stuff that he says into a microphone, he's probably said dozens of times to everyone around him. So it just comes out that he might workshop stuff with other people and then be ready to hit it. But him saying that he's about to get comfortable in a minute is that's him, I think, off the cuff, just talking like he talks, because he's giving also everyone a little bit of a warning. And I would say to Nebraska, if you turn the ball over this weekend and you have troubles getting first downs like you did in Minnesota, this could be a very long afternoon, very long afternoon coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, this feels like it's going to be the CU show. Look, and Matt Rhule is a really good college coach. I don't know if he has the front line kind of difference maker guys
mm-hmm.
that Deion has, and Deion has added and acquired compared to what they have at Nebraska. But we'll see. You know, it's like, I can't wait to see, you know, how this thing keeps going, because all of a sudden it's like the hype is incredibly high. And sure, Deion can handle it because he's lived it for a long time, mm-hmm. but it's still new to, you know, a lot of people. I'm not saying they won't be able to handle it, but I just think it's only going to grow. Like, next week they play Colorado State, and the challenge will be there. It was like, okay, everyone's looking at that like the trap game, you know, so, you know,
yeah,
if they
sure.
win this one, then all of a sudden it's Oregon and Washington, Oregon and USC. And like, okay, this now all of a sudden we have guys that they have a lot of guys that you have.
We'll see. Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. And that is the, as you pointed out, Oregon and USC, when Colorado plays them, that's going to be must-see material. I mean, this is just, we've got just the Colorado schedule alone up here. And I can tell you this for real, and I'm sure you can guess this. We turned 9 years old this fall. We've never put a Colorado schedule graphic together. This is our first. and just so I'll ask you this question. Was the timing on the dissolving of the Pac-12 1 year off here? Like, had Colorado and Deion done this last year, could that have saved the Pac-12? I'm serious, man. Like, where this is, the Pac-12 hasn't lost a game yet. You got Caleb Williams doing what he's doing right now. Deion doing what he's doing right now. I can guarantee you, if those Oregon and USC versus Colorado games are 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern time kickoffs, people on the East Coast would absolutely stay up for that, and every network would be battling for it. What could Deion have saved the Pac-12 had this happened last year?
I think the question to pivot off of is not just the Deion part.
Yes.
This feels like it's going to be a magical year. It's early. I don't want to overreact, which I'm kind of doing.
We all are, I guess. But
for the Pac-12, Caleb, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, DJ Uiagalelei looked terrific the other day at Oregon State, who, by the way, is a top 25 team. UCLA looked impressive. They have a five-star freshman from, you know, Michigan's backyard who's big time, Dante Moore. There's a lot to get excited about the league, honestly, more so than in any other conference right now, right? We just saw Clemson get smashed on Monday night by Duke, right? Florida State looked good. Clemson looked really bad. If there was a – if all these deals did not come up or get leveraged into coming up, you know, going into this season, if you, you know, if they could magically turn back the clock, I think the Pac-12 would have had way more leverage if it was, if this was 2 years back in the cycle, meaning
2 years back.
Because USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten was such a gut punch for the Pac-12. Now in the Pac-12, I think probably would have had a better chance to pivot because they would have had more leverage to marshal up everything else it had left over. But it's a hand they didn't, you know, it wasn't a great hand they had at the time. They didn't play it well. And now all of a sudden, if I'm the Brett Yormark in the Big 12, I'm giddy to have Colorado coming back to the Big 12.
Oh my goodness gracious.
You know, and the other thing that
that was a conference game on Saturday.
It was
a future conference game.
Theoretically, right? And so now you get Colorado, like, you know, and this is one kid, but like I know Deion Sanders has a kid from Georgia who's a four-star top 100 defensive back who was supposed to go visit Kentucky this week. Well, now he's going to Boulder this weekend. And if you start getting kids who are going to do that, and Colorado has shows Deion, hey, we are all in on Deion Sanders. I mean, I don't know if I imagine this or not, but like, you know how like for the years they would run this university commercial. You could be watching Rutgers Northwestern. At some point, there's going to be a 30-second spot about Northwestern, 30-second spot, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody pays attention to them, and even if you went to the school. I'm pretty sure that the Colorado one used the word prime, like talking about professors and everything else. I was like, did I imagine this or that really happened?
Did they really?
Yeah,
I think so. That. Are you serious? Like, hey, we have prime education.
Yeah,
like prime, I thought that campus. Like,
I'm almost positive. Awesome. Maybe I imagine
that would be brilliant if they did that. But why not?
But what I think it does is it shows, and I have a story coming up in a day on, you know, tomorrow on The Athletic about more of this buy-in and the relationship of Deion Sanders and the woman who's really helps drive his career, who you know, Constance Schwartz,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's really about all the things that are lined up in place.
She's
that they
awesome
have
people,
going.
By the way. Strahan as well. I mean, so many others.
And what, like the biggest Rolodex in sports, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, like, but it's really about the stuff behind the scenes of this. And I was like, you know, in my head, I'm like, all right, 2 years, whether it goes great or doesn't go great, I think, you know, I don't just see Deion staying here that long. I think somebody else will pull him away. Why? Like, maybe not. If he gets, like he said, he's getting comfortable. And it's early. It's
he
one game.
He likes to fish.
He can do whatever he wants in Boulder. I mean, he is going to be a king there. He already is.
He already is. Oh, he already is. I mean, without question. You get that sense. But that's why I wanted to say like, okay, if Deion was there 2 years ago, and this is before UCLA and USC decided to break off, and this conference has the buzz about it now that Deion has just taken to a next level, would things have possibly been
different? I think so, because then you just have a much more desire. Colorado football was horrible for so long. Horrible. They had like one winning season in like the last 17 or 18 years. I mean, they were nationally irrelevant. This guy gets there and immediately, like, I don't know the exact numbers of this, but we had reported that Deion was offered the job on our Big Noon show. And I want to say it might have been the weekend, Michigan, Ohio State in Columbus. Normally when Fox puts my digital hits from Big Noon online, maybe they get somewhere between 20 and 40,000 views. That thing got like 500,000. It was because, now granted, the Deion thing was big news, but also it's Dion. People care. They don't. Yeah. I'm not saying they don't care about Dan Lanning. He's a good coach. I'm not saying they don't care about Kalen DeBoer. He's a good coach.
Let's be honest, though. I mean, I had fun with it after the game on Saturday. I just took to X or Twitter, whatever you want to call
Twitter,
it.
Twitter, Rich.
And I'm like, Dion becomes the first coach in NCAA history to win his first game after taking over a one-win team while also being a Pro Football Hall of Famer, 533 hitter in the World Series, and a former host of Saturday Night Live. I mean, this is Dion. I've walked through airports with him and Chris Berman. Dion's the only one who's surpassed Berman in terms of people that stop everybody. The one thing too, and this is what I will counsel everybody and warn everybody, because I had my fun. Which is the TCU player that Dion was talking to after the game?
Oh, the cornerback.
Yeah, and I said throwing a break at the end first hour. If I'm a coach of another team, you talk to any coach you want after the game. If they're willing to come up to talk to you, tell you what a good kid you are, a good game you are. That's the only one. You must stay away from Dion Sanders. You are not allowed to talk to him because this is Dion at the combine. At the combine, Dion had been, 15, 20 years clear of basically playing, you know? And this was just a couple of years ago. Dion had been years clear of playing. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but 15, 20 years from his hold it up heyday. And, you know, he might still be dead money on the Cincinnati Reds. But long story short, the kids, the cornerbacks, flock to him. He's twice their age. They're half his age. They flocked him. He was a godfather. Honestly, like he is an anomaly, and the fact that he is now being dropped in the college football world in the NIL and transfer portal is earth-shattering in that era that he's being dropped. And I know what Urban's saying, you know, to you, you know, off camera, but good luck to anybody who wants to try and do battle with that. Somebody's going to say, okay, my son made $2.5 million in NIL money between games one and two of his first time in Colorado. How about you? End of story, you know. End of story.
Yeah. Good luck to the guy who has to follow him in an in-home visit.
Cool.
Right?
That's a fact. These are facts. We're not over-exaggerating. We're just telling everybody facts.
And some of these guys, remember, Dabo, you know, Brian Kelly, they're successful coaches.
Oh, yeah.
But compared to Deion Sanders, who's going to land? You know, Brian Kelly could dance on the podiums all he wants. going to resonate.
But when people were saying, Deion's not, you know, he's got to, you know, beat the sticks a little bit before he's allowed to come to a big D1 program. He's got to put in his time. No, his time is prime time. That's the time that he put in. And that's the difference maker in this era. How many times have I been saying that from this microphone? For years. So, look, obviously I'm biased when it comes to it. I've got a couple minutes left. Greg Sankey's my first guest tomorrow. What should I ask him?
Good question. What should you ask Greg Sankey? I would ask him why he would tell people that you will not end up with two major conferences down the road, just the Big Ten and the SEC. And the second question I would ask him is, a lot of people, including coaches in college football, think that at some point major college football needs to break away from the NCAA because they do not want to be governed, people telling them the rules when they don't actually know the landscape of college football.
Like cheeseburgers?
Not even that, but sort of that. But like, the question would be then, you know, they have a lot of pride in all their other sports, but like, what scenario could he see where that would where that to him would be attractive, right? Because they're making a ton of money right now as the SEC, and obviously the Big Ten is too. But if you combined everybody and then you get to run your rules, where it's not like somebody from a Division III school having input into how Alabama and Auburn and LSU operate. I mean, I know a lot of coaches who are like, we don't need the NCAA to do this. Let us be like a club sport.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to make us, we're not like, you're trying to run everything like it's women's basketball and baseball and track, and it's just not the same sport.
Yeah, the Galloping Ghost isn't playing anymore.
It's just very different.
So you get like-minded institutions of higher learning together.
Just for football.
Correct. I think that's the way it's going to go, but thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.
Good seeing
Enjoy
you.
Colorado. Tell Prime I said hi, will you please?
I will.
Excellent. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic every Wednesday. Fascinating conversation right here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're back with your calls in a moment.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
It was 96, and it was the week before the Michigan-Ohio State game. You know, I got to practice. I wasn't feeling well. My back was a little tight, and I told the trainer, you know, my back is not feeling right. He was like, oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. So, you know, we're in practice, and he calls me over a couple of times.
Coach Carr.
Yeah. You know, he was like, you know, you're not paying attention. He said, hey, if you're not going to pay attention, then you can just leave. And I turned around. I walked out the field, walked into the locker room, put my clothes back on. I walked to the dorm, and I was like, man, I'm transferring. I'm out of here.
You walked out on Coach Carr and Michigan practice, Ohio State week, saying, I'm leaving.
I'm gone. Going to Coach Carr's office. You know, he asked me a question. He's like, you think you justified yourself by walking off the field? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think you had to make an example out of me. He was like, you know what? Well, you're not playing this week. I walked back down to Vance Beffer's office. He was like, I told you. Just go down there and just apologize. You know what? He picks up the phone. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Miss Woodson, I told this boy to go down there and apologize, and that's all he had to do. Here, you talk to him. So I'm talking to my mom. She was like, what's the problem? I'm like, you know, my coach wants me to go down there and apologize. I'm like, I'm not apologizing. She was like, Charles. She said, I understand. I know you're mad and you're angry. She said, if you're not going to apologize for yourself, then do it for me.
Oh, boy.
Come on, man. So I said, okay. I get up, I go down.
Did it for mom.
I did it for mom, man. Apologized to coach. He said, well, you know what? Good, Charles. You're playing this week.
And Charles has been playing ever since. And I did.
As
DeMarcus Ware said yesterday, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How great was that chat with Bruce Feldman?
Very informative.
For those wondering, the Colorado hype train is clearly left the station.
Oh, man.
And if they do to Nebraska, or assuming they can do, and they
they're only 3-point favorites.
I get it. And and then they have Colorado State. They would be 3-0 going against Oregon. And if they beat Oregon, what would they look like against USC? It would be off.
Well, they'll be in the top 10 if they
because that game is. Can you put the Colorado schedule out one more time?
It's their home for USC.
They're home for USC.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm taking them already.
Well, the funny thing is,
by the way, of course Deion is going to have. How about Bruce saying that some kid that was some top recruit that was going to go visit Kentucky is now coming to see Colorado in the week after what Colorado just did in their home opener for Deion? Kentucky, with all due respect to Kentucky staff, they must be like, well, that's that. Moving on.
Next on the list.
Who's next?
This weekend.
Choice B is, let's go to Choice B. Let's get that kid in here, because Choice A is...
He gone. Out of the way.
What a circus that's going to be like there. And Deion, you know, has prepped what it will look like on game day for recruits that come. This thing has been rehearsed and prepped, and I bet you Deion himself has gone over minute by minute of what's to be done with said recruit and who's the one who's in charge of said recruit, and make sure that that person in charge knows the rules and regulations, how to deal with said recruit, that it's all set up. That the way that Deion had it for himself back in the day, and knowing what it was like then and what it can be like now, I mean, who knows best on how to talk to a recruit than that man? Who knows what a recruit might be interested in knowing about than that man?
It's like Bruce said, though, you don't want to be the person who follows Deion in the home visit.
Whoever that kid is going to Colorado this weekend, you know, I'd like to be you for literally 5 seconds. Jimmy in San Antonio. Let's do this, baby. Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy? How are you?
Todo bien. ¿Qué pasó, hermano?
Bueno, sí. Jimmy, I only have 90 seconds left, and I know what you want to do. This is the first time we've ever done this. I don't know what music you can play. You want to play the win-loss game on the Colorado Buffaloes?
Let's nail it. Let's go.
All right, Jimmy and Senate. This is fantastic. I love it. All right. We already know it's a win against at TCU. Home for Nebraska.
Win.
Home for Colorado State.
Win.
3-0 at Oregon.
Lost.
3-1 home for USC.
Lost.
3-2 at Arizona State.
Win.
4-2 home for Stanford.
Win.
5-2 at UCLA.
Win.
6-2 home for Oregon State.
Shocking loss.
So, I don't know how shocking that would be. 6-3 home for Arizona.
Win.
7-3 at Washington State.
Loss.
Huh. 7-4 at Utah.
Loss.
7-5. Okay, Jimmy.
Bowl game.
Thanks for the time right there.
Going bowl.
Jimmy in San Antonio with the first ever win-loss game for a college team. That's Colorado Buffalo. I don't know. There's a couple of losses in there.
I got a funny.
I'm telling you, I kind of think 9-3 is entirely possible for this team. But I'll tell you what, Chris.
Who knows?
Bowl game. Bowl game. It is happening. And whoever invites Dion, you better come correct because he might say no to you. Facts. Just throwing it all out there. Hour number three coming up on this program. Joe Douglas of the Jets.
Here's a great fact.
Okay.
If you guys can do Price is Right, guess over, I'll give it, you guys can all try.
What?
A ticket for the game week.
I've seen it. It's higher than any ticket to an NFL game this weekend.
It's insane.
It's like $450 to get in to Colorado.
Go up higher than that.
No, the cheapest ticket, Mike.
Yeah, all right. But
Mike's like, not looking. Excuse me.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. Mike's looking.
Chris. Mike's not an upper bowl, man.
Yeah.
My row two.
Come on. Mike's a lower bowl, man.
This is actually section 219.
By the way, and that's not a metaphor for anything. I'm literally talking about inside a stage.
Two seats.
I just called him an upper bowl, man.
She means he's
or a lower. Or is he a lower bowl, man?
Hey, Mike's a lower bowl, man.
Come on.
$4,700.
But the cheapest get-in ticket is higher than any NFL ticket this weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Deion Evan Sanders.
The Deion effect.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But we knew any team, that any college that did this would have it. Why are people surprised?
I don't think we thought it was going to be like this.
All he had to do is show up at a major college as their coach and start winning games like the one he just did. You knew that would be the reaction. And for Colorado to go ahead and say, let's do it here, and for Deion to say, all right, I'll do it there, is remarkable on both sides.
And Shadur and Shiloh wearing the 95 Deion shoes during the game. Like, it was amazing.
Come on.
I'm not surprised to quote.
I'm not.
Nate Diaz.
Hour number three, Joe Douglas of the Jets joining us.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.